I was getting the picture that the chapter house is closest to the minster were the oldest. Ring around ring of cloister, gallery, walk, and yard. Glimpses, through Mathic gates and shouting arches, of chapter houses so tiny, mean, and time-pitted that they must date back to the Reconstitution. New towers striving to make up in loftiness and brilliance what their ancient neighbors owned by dint of age, fame, and dignity. "Another thing," Tullia said. "I almost forgot. Right after Imbrace, there is going to be a plenary."
"Harsibald mentioned those. Jessery did one?"
"Yes. I wish I had more time, but just remember it's all theater."
"Sounds like a warning."
"Anytime you get that many in a room, there's no dialogue worthy of the name. It's all stilted, filtered."
"Political?"
"Of course. Just don't try to outpolitic these guys."
"Because I'm a complete idiot when it comes to—"
"Exactly."
We ran on silently for a few more strides, and she thought better of it.
"Remember our conversation, Raz, before Eliger?"
"You were going to nail down the political end of things," I recalled,
"so that I could memorize more digits of pi."
"Something like that," she said,
tossing off a chuckle just to be a good sport.
"And how's that plan working out?"
"Just tell the truth. Don't try to be tricky. It's not in you."
Half of the visible universe was now gray granite. We ran up steps whose only purpose was to support steps that held up other tiers and hierarchies and systems of steps. But at some point, things flattened out. An entrance was dead ahead of us, but the wrong one. Peregrines were supposed to enter from the direction of the day gate, so we had to run a quarter of the way around the minster and go in the grandest of all the entrances, which I'd have stared at for half an hour if Tullia hadn't grabbed my cord like a leash and hauled me through. We ran through a lobby sort of thing and into a nave that was so large I thought we'd gone outdoors again. An aisle ran up the center. 3/4 of the way along, I could see the tail end of a procession of avowed shuffling toward the chancel. Tullia dropped back, gave me a slap on the bottom that could have been heard from the top of the precipice, and hissed,
"Follow the guys in the loincloths. Do what they do."
At least 30 heads turned to stare. The pews were sparsely occupied with seculars. I dropped to a brisk walk, needed to get my breathing under control, and timed it so that I caught up with half a dozen guys in loincloths just as they got to the screen at the head of the aisle. Following them through, I found myself sharing a big semicircular chamber, the chancel, with an assortment of hierarchs, a choir, the guys in the loincloths, and several other contingents of avowed. Imbrace was another one of our Mathic aughts, a formal program hinged at several instants when coded movements were performed, ancient phrases called out, or symbolic objects manipulated in certain ways, and ventilated by musical entertainments and speeches from purpled hierarchs. A secular would have seen it as ludicrous foppery, if not outright witchcraft. I tried to get back into the spirit of things and see it as an avowed was supposed to. That, after all, was the point of Imbrace, to get peregrines back into the Mathic frame of mind. To that end, it was more fabulous and impressive than daily aughts such as Provenor. Or perhaps that was just how they did everything at Tredegar. Their hierarchs really knew how to put on a show, to grab the audience in the way that great actors did in a theater. Their raiments were really something, and their numbers were intimidating. The primate was flanked not just by his 2 wardens, but by echelons of other hierarchs, and not junior ones either, but people who had sub-entourages of their own and looked as if they might have been primates themselves. I was looking, I realized, at some sort of high council of primates who had all been evoked from their consents, presumably so that they could run the convox. Or the Mathic side of it, at least. Somewhere on the other side of a screen, there must be a cabinet of pangendrums who were as important in the secular world as these hierarchs were in the Mathic. I felt like a scabby mendicant, and considered it a brilliant stroke of good fortune that I was standing next to an order of avowed who wore only handkerchiefs. As I looked at those, however, I began to see that these were actually bolts that had frayed away to almost nothing. The loose fibers that dangled from their fraying ends had clumped together into ropey dreadlocks that these men—they were all men— used to tie the remaining snatches of fabric around their midsections. It was our tradition at Edhar to allow one end of the bolt to fray. The most ancient members of our order, however, when they succumbed to old age, might be buried in bolts with fringes a few inches long. In this order, it seemed, bolts were passed down from older to younger avout. Some of them must be thousands of years old. One of these strange, half-naked Fras had a potbelly, and the rest were gaunt. They belonged to a race that tended to live near the equator. Their hair was wild, but not so wild as their eyes, which stared into the space above the chancel floor without seeming to register anything. I got the feeling they weren't used to being indoors. The other six contingents wore full-sized bolts in complicated wraps. That was all they had in common with one another. Each of the groups was accessorized with a completely different system of turbans, hats, hoods, footgear, underbolts, overbolts, and even jewelry. Plainly, we at Edhar were at the austere end of the spectrum. Perhaps only the veilers and the guys in the loincloths were more ascetic than we.